I don't know where to go this morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, I guess, and turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We've been doing a series of messages on the sign of the times. We're going to continue that. That piece of paper that I gave you this morning on all your pews that I call a certificate of authenticity. The reason I did that is to get you to think a little bit about one of the signs of the times is the words that are used in society today that make things seem like they are what they are not, or to seem like they are not what they are. Words twist things. And our society today uses words. You know, one of the things going on in the world today, I want you to think about this. There's a new bill going through Congress called the
Fairness.
They got another name for it.
Fairness Doctrine.
Yeah. What are these guys in Congress that promote?
The lobbyists.
Lobbyists. Thank you. That's the word I was trying to think of. There's a new law in going through Congress concerning lobbying. Did you know that? And what it entails is, if you lobby, now they're not talking about the regular lobbyist, but they're talking about the individual pointing their fingers at the churches, by the way. If you lobby for a certain politician, in other words, if you're a preacher and you believe that certain so-and-so ought to be the president, which is why I try not to do that, but if you think so-and-so ought to be the president and you lobby for that in your church, you can now be fined over $250,000 for doing that. That's one of the new bills. You know what that means? Freedom of speech. Out the window.
And it also says if you do it out of your home, if you're an individual and do it out of your home, you can be...
Yeah. And the reason they're doing that is, well, for one, freedom of speech. There goes your freedom of speech. Number two, you cannot complain against your government, power, authority, et cetera, et cetera. These are just some of the many, many things going on in the world today to promote a one-world government that is on its way, and the United Nations are part of it, but there's a one-world government that's coming. Another thing they're focusing on is destroying the Constitution of the United States of America. And they've gotten to the point where they've almost accomplished that. It won't be long when the Constitution of the United States of America will be void, and that'll leave the door open for the Antichrist and the one-world government, which I think is pretty close to being on the scene. But the Lord tells us to look for the signs of the times. These are just some of the things that we can look for as we look toward the sign of the times, toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again in two parts. You're all aware of that, I'm sure. He's coming again in two parts. The first part will be for His church. The world will not see Him. It'll be in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. And in Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we are told to look for His appearing. That's the rapture of the church. He's also coming again 7 years later, and He'll be coming to set up His kingdom for the nation of Israel at the end of the seven-year tribulation. And Christ tells the Jews and the nation of Israel to look for that in Luke chapter 21, verse 27 and 28. And He said, when all these things begin to come to pass, your redemption draweth nigh. He said, actually, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When Christ comes at His second part of His second coming, the whole world will see Him. They reject Him today. The world rejects Christ, rejects the cross, and so everything the world is doing today is preparing itself for the coming Antichrist. You and I, as Christians, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. That's not a problem for you. You'll be out of here in heaven 3.5 years before the mark of the beast is instituted. If you'll notice a lot of the things going on, let me give you another example of one of the things going on in the world today. Our politicians are pretty darn crooked. I don't have much use for them. But instead of raising taxes, which they would like to do right now, we have a new bunch of people in Congress who would love to raise your taxes. But instead of doing that, they know they're going to look bad. So guess what they did? They raised the minimum wage. Now, I don't have anything against people earning more money, but my opinion is you ought to earn what you deserve. If you're a bricklayer and you go through a certain process learning how to be a bricklayer, the better you get, the more money you earn. That's only natural. But to go to work somewhere and have the government establish a minimum wage You know what it's designed for? You really think they care about the people that are earning less money?
No.
No. Thank you very much. Absolutely not. You know what their goal is? More taxes. More taxes. It's that simple, folks. This way we can get more taxes and the American people will think we're just sweet. We're sweetie pies. If you raise the minimum wage $1 an hour, I don't know how much money that is, but it's an awful lot. You know what else it does? It makes the employee pay out more money in taxes, in benefits, this and that. You know what it's going to do? Destroy small business eventually. It'll destroy small business. The small businessman can't afford to pay what the government thinks they need to pay. And all this is designed, when the Antichrist comes along, the entire world will love him because he's going to solve all the world's problems. All the world's problems will be solved. And that's where we're headed today. Unfortunately, the world will think their problems are solved, but they're really going to get worse and worse. If you got up breathing this morning, feel good. If you got up feeling sorry for yourself this morning, feel bad. You deserve it. But if you got up feeling good this morning, feel good about yourself. You know why? Jesus Christ is still God. Doesn't matter what else takes place in this world today, Jesus Christ is still God. I was talking to my granddaughter on the phone here last week. I'll tell you this, she probably wouldn't mind. And even if she does, whatever. And things are going bad for her right now. But because they are, she has in her attitude, when people get kind of depressed, they have trouble making decisions. You know that? It's a truth. It's a fact. And she was a little bit down because things weren't going bad, and she was having trouble making proper decisions. And she was going to do some things that I thought were absolutely ignorant. And I started yelling at her, the old grandpa, mean old ogre. And she started crying. And I said, are you crying? Yeah. Well, stop it. And she did. Well, I hope things are going better. I have to call her probably a day sometime and see how things are going. But it's all a simple matter of focus, you know. Things aren't as bad as she really thinks they are. It's all a matter of focus. And so the Antichrist wants everybody in the world to think things are terrible. If you listen to the news media, oh, things are terrible. No, they're not. They're not all that bad. I don't see anybody in here that looks to me like they're starving to death. We see churches that were full this morning and they had to get there somehow, use gasoline that they bought and paid for somehow. Things aren't as bad as we seem to think they are. But the Antichrist and the one world government and the world that we live in wants you to think things are really as bad as we think they are. But they're really not. I was going to bring up something else. One other thing. The Antichrist and the one world government, the world that we're living in, would like to eliminate the Word of God, number one, eliminate the cross out of our society today, and also eliminate the Constitution of the United States, because when that happens, we are open for a one world government. It will happen. It's in the process of taking place right now. So that's when things are going to get bad. We're going to be under a one world government. But did you know that the new Bibles that we have today, we've been studying that, we started last Wednesday in our Wednesday night class, the new Bibles that we have today are actually corrupt. There's only one Bible that I recommend, that's a King James Version, and it's not 100% perfect, but the only imperfections in it are really punctuations and so forth. The rest of the King James Bible is about the best you can get. But if you have an NIV, put it on your shelf. Don't throw it away. Just put it on your shelf. Use it later to study with. Get a King James Bible. If you have a new NASB, New American Standard Bible, or an NASB, put it on the shelf. Get a King James Bible and learn it. If you have a Living Translation, throw it away. Don't put it on the shelf. Throw it away. The Living Translation says in Isaiah chapter 53 that Christ died on the cross because he was a sinner. People who carry that Bible aren't even aware of that. It's a damnable translation. Throw it in the trash. Almost as bad as the New World Translation put out by the Jehovah Witnesses. So there's a lot of things, and Satan is behind all of this. A man by the name of, I forget his name right now, Mueller. Secretary of the United Nations, said that he is looking forward to a universal Bible that'll fit everyone in the world, that'll fit everyone's idea in the world. And you know why I know that that is coming? Because if you read the preface to the new Bibles that are out in the world today, all the prefaces to the new Bibles, the preface, the preface, every one of those state that there are manuscripts out there that are unused. Original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts that are unused. You know why? They're being set aside by none other than Satan for his new Bible. Mark it down. It will happen. But anyway, let's get into the Bible here a little bit. 1 John chapter 2, if you will. Verse 15. Remember last week we talked about the accursed thing, or actually it was a week before that, the accursed thing. And we said anything that you put before Christ, before God, is the accursed thing. It keeps you away from God, keeps you away from His Word, keeps you out of church, keeps you away from the truth, keeps you in deception. And most of all, it keeps you depressed. So get away from it. Get away from the worldly things. Verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know why? If you do, you're going to be unhappy. If you focus on the world and everything in the world, mark it down, the world will keep you unhappy. You'll be depressed. You'll depend on the world to keep you happy. Satan wants you to do that. These are just signs of the latter days that we're living in, the last times. The world and the things that are going on in the world will make you unhappy. Mark it down. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ooh, isn't that something? What would you rather have? The love of the Father or the love of the world? Thank God, take the love of the Father. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you look around the world today, if you want to see the signs of the times, all you have to do is look at the world. Look at the world. Where is the world today? Take a look at the world, how the world thinks, how the world acts. Let's remove the Ten Commandments. Remove the sign of the cross. Remove any reference to Jesus Christ, and we'll even put it in our Bibles. You know what else we saw last Wednesday night? The word Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14 is taken out of all the new translations and replaced with the words morning star. Did you know that? You know who the morning star is?
It's Christ.
It is Christ. Revelation chapter 22. Jesus Christ said, I am the morning star. But guess what? Our new translations took him out, put him in Isaiah chapter 14 where the word Lucifer is used. In other words, they're calling Lucifer, Satan, the morning star. And if you look around the world today, you'll see where it's literally, it's a new age movement, and it's really growing like a snowball. Back to the Bible. And the world passed away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will of God? It's very simple. Put your faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. That is very simply the will of God. And what do you do? Abide forever. And then God said, focus on that. Put your faith and trust in that. Focus on it. Look at it. Don't look at the world. Don't look at your poor little pity me. Oh, I feel sorry for him. Nobody treats me right. You know, I love young people. I really do. We have some good young people in our church. But when I see young people that complain about, I worked hard, I'm tired, I feel terrible. And I see older people that go to church that never complain, I'm thinking, you're focusing. If you're in church, you know, and you focus on God and focus on His Word and focus on my future and my present state and my future, things go so much better, don't they? They sure do. Now then, verse 18. I went to I took the long way around to get to this verse. Little children, it is. Now remember when 1 John was written in probably somewhere between 60 and 70 A.D. by John the Apostle, he said, little children, it is the last time or the latter days. We've been living in the latter days for almost 2,000 years now. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, by which we know it is the last time. You know what an Antichrist is, by the way? It's someone who rejects Christ. It means hard against. That's what it means. Pressing hard against. Pressing hard against something. Actually, it'll never move. Jesus Christ will never move. But that's what the Antichrist theory is. That's what the Antichrist mentality is. Pushing hard against Christ. It is the last time. Why? Because there are so many Antichrists in the world today. Most of our politicians are Antichrists. The world doesn't think so, but they sure are. Most of our law enforcement officials have an Antichrist mentality. You know what I don't understand? I'm not going to get as far as I wanted to this morning. But I don't understand why, when a child is abducted, or a child is found along the roadside, or a young woman raped and murdered, I don't understand why our law enforcement officials do not go to their files on the computer and look up where these people live and investigate them. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. It's because of their Antichrist mentality. If they would just go to their files on the computer and find out where these pedophiles live, go pay them a visit and say, hey, we got a problem, someone was murdered here, what were you doing on this date? Am I right or wrong? But they will not do it. The last three times a child was abducted and they found the person that did it, you know who did it? A private citizen who's paying attention. The law enforcement takes credit for it. You know this last case that took place here in Colorado, I think it was, where the two young boys were abducted?
Missouri.
Missouri, that's where it was, yeah. I don't know what I'd do without her. Missouri. It was in Missouri. Two young boys this guy abducted. He already had an offense against him. He was listed. He should have been on their files. They should have been paying him a visit, but no. They'll just as soon sit along the roadside and give out a speeding ticket. Tell me it's not an Antichrist society. I don't know about you, but if I was a police officer, I think I'd have been paying that guy a visit, don't you? When the first boy came up missing, I would have been paying that guy a visit. Hey, what were you doing on such and such day? You know what they would have done? Found the boy in his home. They would have found him. And then this young girl here recently that was abducted, she finally jumped out of the car and took off running. Well, when she was first abducted, why didn't they go to their files and look up the names of these pedophiles, these good-for-nothing rotten? And I got to tell you, I've told you this 100 times. If I wasn't the pastor of the church, and I'm retired now, I would spend every minute of my time bringing these guys to justice. But thank God I'm not, because I probably wouldn't bring them to justice. I'd probably just kill them. Every time I found one, I'd kill them. Wouldn't bother me a bit. God might not like it very well, but it's the worst thing. Yeah, let me get off of that for you. Let's get on. It is the last time. Now, on down to verse 22, if you will. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Look around the world today, folks. And I'm going to tell you quite frankly, if you see anyone that denies that Jesus Christ is God, that's what the Bible says, not me. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Anyone that denies and rejects Jesus Christ rejects God the Father, and the Bible says they are Antichrist. Now, I'm going to say something that won't make a lot of people very happy. Anyone who calls themselves a Muslim is an Antichrist. It's that simple. Anyone who calls themselves a Mormon denies Jesus Christ as God, and they are Antichrist. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Anyone, I don't care what religion it is, if they deny Jesus Christ, if they reject Him as God, the Bible says they are Antichrist in their thinking. I wonder how many of those people there are in the world today. A lot. You can be moral or think you're moral. You can be a good person or think you're a good person, but if you reject Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are anti-Christ in your way of thinking. The Bible also says we are living in a world of anti-Christ. It's no wonder the world is the way it is, isn't it? It's hard to keep a job in our world we live in. So I told my kids, I said, you know, you guys, I was talking to someone the other day, I forget who it was, and they said they were secure in their job. Wrong. If you don't have some sort of a trade or something to fall back on, or if you don't have enough gumption to go find another job, your job just doesn't secure you. You're not secure in your job. I worked for CEI for probably almost 30 years, and I thought I was secure in my job, but I really wasn't. I was lucky to keep it. I probably should have lost it many times, especially the way I acted many times, but you're not secure in your job. You're only secure up here when you put Christ first and assume that Christ will take care of your needs. That's where your safety is. Put your safety in the fact that Jesus Christ will take care of you. That's the only place you're safe in the world we live in. Go over to chapter 4, if you will, here. Verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this know ye the Spirit of God. Now pay attention to this, if you will. We're looking at the times, the end times, the times we're living in, looking for the coming Antichrist. Jesus Christ told us there are two things he said to look for when he gave us an example of the time of the end. One was the time of Moses, or the times of Noah, when Noah built the ark, and the other was the times of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the two things he told us to look forward to. Whenever you're looking at the sign of the times, look at these two events in history. And then he says here, look at this. By this know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Two kinds of spirits in the world today. Mark this down. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit that says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. Mark it down. It's not. You can't walk the fence. You can't make a distinction and say, well, maybe a little bit of this, a little bit. No, it's either one or the other. It's either you confess that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, or you do not. One is the Spirit of God, and the other is the Spirit of Antichrist. And then notice what he says. Let's read the rest of that verse. And this is that Spirit of Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it should come, future, and even now already is it in the world. Did you pay attention to that? The Antichrist will come, but John the Apostle said it will come, but it is already in the world. 2,000 years ago, John wrote this. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. You know what the spirit of Antichrist wants you to do? He wants you to worry. He doesn't want you to trust Christ. He wants you to worry. He wants you to worry about every little thing and every little this and every little that. And he wants you to wake up in the morning all depressed and feeling bad and feeling terrible. And you know what happens when you do that? You make your mind open for the theology of the Antichrist, which is, I need help. I need protection. And you know what will happen then? The government will step in under the one world government of the Antichrist and say, we will protect you. We will take care of you. You don't need God after all. Is he really real? And that's the spirit that is going on in the world today, and we, especially Christians, need to be aware of that. That's why John said, believe not every spirit and try the spirits, he said. Now let's go over here, if you will. We got enough time to go to one other place, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 4 probably would be a good place. We could probably go to Jude, but let's back up here to 1 Peter chapter 4, I think is probably where I want to go. Peter, Jude, both mentioned the two things to look forward to in the end time were the examples of Noah and Lot, which we might look at next week. But notice 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, if you will. Peter writing to the Jews, which were Jewish Christians, and he says to them, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober," or really sober-minded in your mind, "and watch unto prayer." You know what? You wonder why we pray when we have our, services, because the Bible tells us to. Most churches have their prayer service that we have in the morning here on Sunday on Wednesday night, and they spend the whole time doing the prayer service. I just assume do it on Sunday morning. I don't know how you feel about that. As a matter of fact, let's take just a second here. I want to do something. On Sunday morning, we have our prayer service, and we have a list of people that we pray for. It takes about 5 minutes, maybe. Let me ask you something. Is everyone in here in favor of doing it that way? Are you? Good. Thank you. We'll keep doing it. I think it's a proper thing to do, but by prayer, we have to pray. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Verse 8. "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." In other words, if you're a Christian, be kind and generous and love other Christians. Do other Christians make mistakes? They certainly do. Do I make mistakes? I certainly do. Do I say the right thing all the time? Absolutely not. Am I 100% correct? Absolutely not. Am I perfect? Far from it. Yet the Bible tells me that you should overlook that. Thank you. But you know what? We should overlook overlook other people in the church, what we consider failures. Forget it. Don't be a grudge. Don't grudge people. Don't hold things against people. Accept people. Understand people. That's what we're told to do. Why? Because we're living in the latter days. Why? Because if Satan gets a grip on the church and a hold on the way you think, the church will be history. We have to learn how to think and act and be a charity. Love one another. Listen. In the latter days, the days that we're living in, this is what God tells us. This is how we are supposed to act with one another. You know why it does? It gives, listen to what it says. Let's go back here, if you will. Verse 10. And then we're going to probably close with this verse. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Does that make sense? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or if any minister, let him do what God tells you to do. And that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And then we're going to close with this. But you know what the bottom line is? We are living in the latter days, are we not? I believe we are. And if you look at how fast things are going in the world today, how fast everything seems to be headed towards a one-world government, a one-world system. And you know what when the Antichrist institutes his Mark 666, you know what that's going to do? That's going to allow him to track you. For those that are left behind after the rapture, that's going to allow him to track everyone. The world will say, well, the mark of the beast is going to protect me. We were talking on the way to church this morning. Geraldo Rivero, was it, you said, had his identity stolen, and they took his Social Security number,
his credit cards,
and he really got abused by that, but...
And the person that sold him declared him dead and made a justice of it out.
Yeah. Poor Geraldo, huh? Yeah. Well, whatever. But you know what? This is going to get worse and worse as we go through time. You know why? Well, think about it now. Think. Think logically. Think. If this happens more and more, and it does, do you know what the mark of the beast does? It guarantees that that won't happen to you. Think about it. It guarantees that nobody will be able to steal your identity. The Antichrist, well, I'm going to protect you. If you take this little mark under here, you'll be able to buy, you'll be able to sell. Nobody can steal your identity. Oh, it'll just be wonderful. Huh? Yeah, there you go. That's right. That's a good point. But he's going to guarantee your protection, sort of like the way the United States government is doing today. We guarantee your protection. You're so darn stupid you can't protect yourself. You're so darn stupid you can't even drive a car properly. Isn't that what we're led to believe? I was listening to the radio the other day. I got to tell you this. I just thought of this. The State Patrol, whoever it is, the Nasty Bill, the head of the State Patrol, said he's been talking to all the sheriff's departments and all the local police chiefs, and they have decided that they're going to start cracking down on traffic violators looking for drugs in your car. And everybody says, wow, that's wonderful. Is it really? You know what it means? It means we can pull you over if you just cross that white line just a little bit, because we think you might have a problem. But it really, what they're thinking about doing is violating the rights of the average American citizen. They don't really care about the drug dealers. They make more money giving you a $40 ticket than they do off any drug dealer. They make more money pulling over the average citizen and harassing you than they do the drug dealer. That's not the goal. The goal is to make more money. What a joke. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I trust Jesus Christ. I'm glad I trust Him every day. I'm glad I trust Him for my basic needs, because if I didn't, I'd walk around so angry, mad at our government, mad at the police, mad at this, mad at the world. I'm glad I trust Jesus Christ. You know why? I don't have to be angry, even though I do get a little upset sometimes. I know. But I have a right. I have a mental problem. I want you to take your little certificate of authenticity and take it home with you, because that gives you the right to be authentic. Well, after all, I have a right to joke around once in a while. Whatever. Anyhow, if you're here today and you trusted Christ as your Savior, you know what? You ought to be glad, grateful, thankful. Because I'll tell you what, you have a God, Jesus Christ, who will never leave you, never forsake you, always protect you. He gives you the right to go through life being happy, being content. He gives you the right to go through life understanding what's going on in the world. Jesus Christ gives you the right to go through life understanding the world, understanding why I don't need the world, understanding why Jesus Christ is always there. At least we have that much, don't we? Certainly. Jesus Christ gives me the right to understand the truth and reject the lie. He gives me the right to go through world and and go through life and understand that there are going to be antichrists in the world, and I should be able to understand them. I should be able to pick them out. I should be able to see them. He gives me the right to do that. That's the reason I gave you the certificate of authenticity. It was sort of left a play on words, really. But I thought it was kind of cute.
Isaiah chapter 3, verses 18 through to the last verse talks about the end times, too.
Yes, it does. You might want to write that down. Isaiah chapter 3, verse what?
18 through 26.
Okay. You might want to write that down. My wife, she's usually right about this stuff. The Bible thumping. Anyhow, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close this morning, if you will. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you know what? Be grateful for it. If you haven't done that, the Bible calls you an antichrist. If you cannot believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he died on the cross, he is the Savior, the Bible says you are probably an antichrist. If you do believe that Christ is God in the flesh, he died on the cross, then you belong to God, you're not an antichrist, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the ability to understand the time of the end. It ought to be a blessing. It ought to be a blessing. It is to me. And dear Lord, we just thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins and gives us the ability to understand the world and understand where we're headed. And we just thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.